Welcome to episode 297 of After the Credits. I am your co-host, Maureen Antunes, joined today by fellow co-host
Dale McGladry of, well, motleyjournal.ca. Not a lot of activity there, though.
Well, with me, there hasn't been a lot of activity anywhere, so it is what it is. I'm randomly on Twitter. That's about it. Oh, and on Instagram. But other than that,
yeah,
I haven't been doing much of anything.
I think Twitter's where I've been the most active, but even when I'm active on Twitter, I'm not super active.
Yeah, right. I've really been enjoying the sun that we've been having. We're trying to get outside as much as we can. So, hey, I cannot complain.
It has been nice.
It has. And I've also been watching lots of stuff. So.
Oh, okay.
Well, I say lots of stuff, but it's not really that much stuff. It just looks like a lot of stuff. Do you want me to start or do you want to kick us off?
I was just going to say, I have been finding it hard. I don't know if it's because my focus has changed, like, and I'm not as interested as much stuff as I used to be, or just there's not as much interesting stuff out there to watch, but I'm finding it hard to find stuff that I'm like really excited about watching. So, I mean, I don't get me wrong. I've been watching stuff, but it isn't like it. There was a time where like every day I was looking forward to watching, you know, the latest episode of something, and it's been a long time.
Well, it doesn't help that there's kind of a rut right now in like the regular TV that we watch. I know that Superman and Lois is coming back, which is yay, very welcome. But
I lost interest in Super. I mean, I watched the first four. Maybe I'll try and pick it up again.
No, Dan and I really like that one.
I don't know when. One of the characters, man, this is going to be a great podcast. My brain is Swiss cheese. Not Lex Luthor. Maybe it was Lex Luthor. I don't know. The guy in the spaceship showed up.
Yeah, it's Lex Luthor.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I don't know.
But Lex Luthor from like another dimension or something.
I know.
I don't know. I really like the family drama part of.
I was enjoying that. I was enjoying that until Lex Luthor showed up.
Yeah, I like that probably the most of the show, and I'm willing to keep watching.
I thought that was really interesting thing to explore. Yeah, maybe I will pick it up. But yes, please go first.
Okay, well, since we're already talking TV, let's talk some more TV. So, this ties into some of the movies I've been watching, but I kind of went through like a short phase of teen content. So I had this on my watch list for a while, and for whatever reason, I kind of hadn't watched it yet. So I'm like, whatever, we'll watch this. So I watched Fate, the Wix Saga, which is surprisingly based on an Italian cartoon series.
Okay. Was this live action or animated?
So this is a live action remake.
Okay.
So take that in. It's a live action remake of a cartoon about fairies.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, granted, I've never seen the animated show. The live action show is actually pretty decent. It kind of feels like all of the other teen supernatural things that are like flying around out there. Remind me a little bit of Shadowhunters.
Okay.
But for whatever reason, I actually kind of like this one more than I liked Shadowhunters. And I think it's because I really like the girl that plays the lead. Her name is Abigail Cohen. She plays Bloom Peters. So the idea here is that Bloom is this human that doesn't have fairy blood in her family. Her parents don't know that she has fairy blood. Something happened and she is now at this academy in another dimension. Okay. To basically learn how to use her powers, and then shit happens. So she shares her dorm room area with her apartment, I guess, with like three other girls. And then there's like teen drama and there's fairy drama. And it's kind of silly, but it also kind of works. I don't know. Fairy stories generally don't work for me. the magic thing just doesn't fly for me. But I don't know. I kind of dig this one. And I really think it's because of the lead. Everybody is like, everybody else is super flat. And there are moments where she's talking and I'm like, ooh, that's really bad. But, you know, generally, it's actually not terrible. So, hey, I kind of enjoyed it. And I was surprised that I watched the entire series, the entire season. And then when it ended, I was like, I would have watched more of that. So hopefully it gets renewed. I think it's been renewed for a second season. So
what
I
mean, was the name again?
It's called Fate, the Wix Saga.
And is that subtitled or dubbed or?
No, it's in English.
It's in English? Okay.
Oh yeah, it's in English. And everybody is British except for the lead. And thankfully they decided not to make her fake an English accent.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, either thank God for small miracles. But I don't know. I don't know. It was kind of, it's not the most glowing recommendation, but I really did enjoy it. I thought it was pretty decent.
I have found lots of those series exactly the same. They just, they tickle the right nerve.
Yeah.
And it's just a fun watch. I'm down with that.
It worked for me. The other show that I want to talk about that I really did love and I highly recommend, and it is so, so good, is the Halston miniseries on Netflix from executive producer Ryan Murphy. Yeah, so it's 5 episodes directed by Daniel Minahan. It's basically like an extended movie. Ewan McGregor stars as Halston, and it covers the trajectory of the show, basically covers his entire career until when he basically retired. So good. Like, it's very glossy, very expensive. McGregor is so good. The fashion is amazing. It looks great. It sounds great. The woman that plays Liza Minnelli is fabulous. It just has this like 80s glossy sheen to it. It's so chic and so well done. Highly recommend it. It's by far, like, Ryan Murphy, like, this is part of his like overall deal at Netflix, which is worth like $1 billion. And he's already done a bunch of shows. This is the one that is actually super good. Okay. The rest I found very middling, but this one, top shelf. This is like got Emmys written all over it. It's so, so good. Highly recommend it. I like powered through this thing. And when it was over, I was very sad.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. I would have never thought to check it out, but
it's very good.
I am now.
Yeah. It's very, very good. I highly, highly, highly recommend it. And that's it. That's all the TV I got to share.
Really?
What do you have? Yeah. Well, wow. You know, I mean, I know that there are a couple of shows that we're watching, but we're kind of like in the middle of them. So Mythic Quest is back, which we love.
Uh-huh.
And season 2 so far has been really good. But, you know, I like to kind of wait until the end of the season and then talk about it as a whole.
Me too. But I mean, I do mention when something started in case, you know.
Yeah. Mythic Quest is back and they're now like on episode 3 or something. And the season is shaping up to be really great. And then the other one that we've been watching on Apple TV Plus is Mosquito Coast. Which I'm also really, really enjoying. I've never seen the original movie, so don't shoot me. I will get to it eventually. But I'm really, really digging that show too. They're like, I think 3 or 4 episodes in already, and it's pretty damn good.
I tried watching the original movie when it came on like broadcast TV, and didn't make it very far. It wasn't something I was interested in.
Well, you know, and it always kind of makes me curious. I mean, you've taken a book that you made into a movie, and then somebody else took the same book and has made it into like a 6 or 8 or 10 episode season.
Yeah.
It's like, what did you have to cut to cram it into a 90-minute movie?
Or invent to expand it out. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. But the series so far has been pretty damn good.
Okay. In a similar vein, Bebo Be Praised, DC's Legends of Tomorrow is back.
Mm.
Looking forward to seeing where they're going to go with that. And that's always a fun, batshit crazy kind of adventure. So for TV, Invincible, the cartoon animated based on a comic. I really enjoyed this series. It was different. It had a really different aesthetic feel from all of the other superhero things, and some great voice acting, like Sandra Oh's in there, and I forget who voices the father, but he's just got this great voice. All of the voice acting is actually good. Some of the violence was a little bit hard to take. Like, there's some super violent scenes in there. But of all of this kind of violence I've seen in cartoons, I think it really went a long way to working in service of the story. So I was kind of okay with it. Like, I don't want to give anything away, but it really did go to the nature of the characters that were doing it. And I think it story-wise, it was okay. Maybe not quite so far as they went, but maybe not. That's going to, I think, maybe be a personal thing. There's a lovely ironic twist in the story that I just loved how, because it really is about a exploration of family and friend relationships, combined kind of with the main character Invincible is just trying to figure out kind of the right thing to do. But there's this ironic twist of, like, he's been taught these values and he's trying to apply these values. And the person that taught him the values is like, kind of like, you're getting it wrong. That's not where I wanted you to go with that. And I just kind of love that. So if that kind of superhero, more serious drama, but still superhero thing is in your wheelhouse, I would recommend Invincible. Ted Lasso. Have you found Ted Lasso yet?
Welcome to the party.
Yes, I think actually, yeah, I heard so many people saying good things about Ted Lasso. It's like, I'm just going to have to give this a try. Like, I just thought it was going to be too saccharine or slapstick, but it was wonderful. It was just kind of super wonderful. Right? You've talked about Lasso. I can't even remember who's.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've praised this show quite a bit. We loved it. We thought it was fantastic.
I did too. I'm super happy it's coming for a second season. I don't know if we have to tell people what the story plot is. An American football coach is brought to England because reasons to coach an English football team, which is, you know, soccer. And yeah, hilarity ensues.
Yeah. It's just like, it's charming in just the right.
Yeah.
Way. It's like you say, it's not saccharine and it's not like super hilarious, but it is funny. I don't know. It's just, it's such a wonderful little show. It's hard to encapsulate, but basically if any of that sounds interesting, it's worth checking out and you'll fall in love.
Yeah, I think so. And the characters are so wonderful. Like, the characters, you fall in love with the characters, but they're not all nice people. Like, some of these characters are like rude and some of them are assholes. But they all like feel real, maybe is the wrong term, but they have this, you know, the cords of reality. Like, you know, I know somebody like that. And they all, it's like they aren't just doing stuff because the story needs them to do stuff. They're doing stuff because that's their character. Like, that was what I was really impressed with the writing. Like, all of them. Anyway, yes. So I'm on the bandwagon now. Did you do Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Yeah, I talked about it with Ashley on Girls on Pop, so I didn't add it to my list. But yeah, we did watch that.
And what did you think?
I liked it. I liked it quite a bit.
I kind of felt like they needed one less storyline or two more episodes. And I was really angry at the writing with the Carly Morgenthau character. I thought they screwed that up really, really bad. Like, I was okay with their, like, taking her to the dark side and killing people, but I didn't feel like they did that in a credible way. I thought they lost so much opportunity. It really spoiled a lot of that show for me. Just the way they handled that whole movement. But the chemistry between Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan, like, some of the dialogue there was and scenes were amazing. Like,
yeah,
I so enjoyed that. Those two, I hope they have a future together doing shows. That would be great.
I agree. I think that they're really, really great together. Honestly, I I don't follow the Marvelverse enough to know one way or the other Carly's character. I'm like, okay, she looks familiar from one of the movies. Whatever. Let's move on.
I don't either. I have no... I think she actually, she was introduced in this series. I don't know that she showed up before. So I have no... Like, yeah, I don't follow the comic books. Like, especially... these ones, the ones that I were familiar with, have already had the stories done. So this is mostly new ground for me. This was just on a purely watching the character development and how wishy-washy, like the writing was super uneven for her. The concepts just didn't seem right. Anyway, moving on. Made for Love, HBO Max series.
What?
It stars Kristen Milioti, who Palm Springs, and she did a Dark Mirror episode. She's kind of like, she does stories that I'm generally interested in. So in this one, she plays a woman named Hazel Green, who's in a abusive relationship with a tech billionaire who kind of feels a bit like Elon Musk. Only they've named him Byron Goggle, and his empire is more like Google, but he wants to embed chips in people's heads. So I'm pretty sure like Musk was kind of the inspiration for this douchebag. But it's an interesting study in non-physical abuse. So Milioti's character has a chip implanted in her that lets Goggle monitor her, you know, like basically see through her eyes kind of thing. And the made for love part is he has plans to let couples kind of merge emotions with this chip. You know, each person gets a chip, and but it's just like, it's so super creepy. And I really wanted to like this more, but I just couldn't really get into the characters. I watched it for the story. I was kind of fascinated to see where they were going with the story, and there were a lot of fun moments in it. And so I mean, it's kind of a wishy-washy maybe recommendation. It had lots of interesting things, but lots of kind of boring things too. So I suspect whether or not a person likes this is going to have a lot to do with kind of the themes they like and where they're coming from. And I suspect it's also for somebody that has experienced that kind of a manipulative relationship, it could trigger the hell out of them. Like it was making me feel uncomfortable. The level of like even beyond the having this chip implanted in her, the manipulation of this guy, that pulled off because he was, you know, a tech billionaire and could, was just hit too close to home.
So, oh, that sounds really interesting. I'm definitely going to have to add that to my list.
I really would be interested in hearing your thoughts on it. I haven't heard if it's got its second season or not. They clearly left it in a point where it wants a second season. And it does not hold you by the hand. Like there's some deeper themes in there. It's got the surface story, but there's some deeper things in there that like to do with family relationships and how we deal with each other and kind of manipulation and stuff that I didn't quite parse. So, I mean, if you like those kinds of stories too, it's there too. My last one. I caught up on Resident Alien.
Oh yeah,
Alan Tudyk playing an alien come to destroy the Earth, but he runs into a few snags and winds up playing a human being in a small town in Colorado. Overall, I enjoyed this, but I found it really, really uneven.
Yes.
I don't know. It was like sometimes it couldn't figure out what kind of show it wanted to be. Like how serious it wanted to be about things. There was a couple storylines that I thought were really, really good, but were kind of out of place with the more comedic stuff going on. But I wouldn't have wanted to rip them out because I enjoyed them so much. And man, they created some wonderful characters. Like, I just love almost all of the characters they had in there. It was kind of a joy watching them all interact and have real moments. And then just, you know, the batshit crazy things. Like, at one point there's a talking squid trying to escape.
I like some of the concepts overall. Like, I like the fact that, you know, there's all these people, not all, but there's a couple of people walking around that can actually see behind the disguise.
Yeah.
It's just like stupid little things like that don't seem like much, but they really add to the story. Overall, I've actually thought it was not bad. Like you say, it is a bit of whiplash because at some points it is much more serious than like you would think it would be, based on whatever everything else that's going on. But generally speaking, it's actually quite a bit of fun, I thought.
I think so too. And Tudyk has such a knack for uncanny valley of human, non-human. Like,
yes.
He just kind of nails
nails. Yes. That. Agreed. Agreed.
And that's it for my television.
So for movies, let me rattle off a couple of things that I've watched. I don't know if there's a whole lot that's good in here, but I've seen stuff.
Okay. Just make sure you let me pause if I have comment, because I may have actually seen some of the stuff you've seen.
Maybe. So you jump in whenever you've seen anything that you want to comment on. So okay. I watched To All the Boys Parts 2 and 3. At this point, I've forgotten what the Part 2 and Part 3 are called.
Okay, so that's all you.
Yeah, that's why I figured that I had seen the original at some point and it was really charming. And Lana Condor, who plays the lead, is still super charming. It's just kind of like they don't have the appeal that the first movie did. They're okay. And I'm sure they're probably going to do a fourth one because now she's in college and things have changed. So we'll see. Maybe next year we'll get another one. But I don't know. They're just kind of, they're just kind of fun.
You know, that first movie's still on my watch list because I heard so many good things about it.
But. Yeah, and it is good. It is quite good. And, they carry some of that charm into 2 and 3. It's just by the time you get to the third movie with the same characters, it's just kind of like, oh, more high school drama.
Okay.
All right. So it is what it is. It does have some fun moments and it does get at some, hard hitting teen things, but I don't know. It's fine. Things Heard and Not Seen, also on Netflix. This is Amanda Seyfried and James Norton. Seyfried plays a an art restorer. Her husband, James Norton, is a professor, or he's getting his PhD or something. He gets a job at a private college in the middle of I don't know where. And then they buy this house where things happened, and the house maybe is haunted, maybe by a nefarious spirit, maybe not. There's all this literary mumbo jumbo that they throw around, and Amanda Seyfried also maybe has an eating disorder. There is a lot crammed into this movie. It looks spectacular. It is a period film, so I think it takes place in if I had to guess, late 70s to mid 80s kind of time period. And it's very of the time. And Seyfried is really good. And so is James Norton. The movie is just kind of a mess. There's just too much going on. None of it really, really fully works, which is too bad because the performances are quite good. I was disappointed by how it doesn't manage to come together. It's trying something and I appreciate that. And it really goes for it, especially in the final, maybe 10 minutes, it goes in some weird places. It just, I don't think it kind of fully gets there. The Mitchells versus the Machines. Did you watch
that? Oh, yes. Yeah.
So of course I will just say that I am on the bandwagon with everybody else. This is amazing.
It was one of the funnest movies I watched this whole cycle.
I agree. It's also one of the most fun that we've had actually in a while, I would say. And we saw it twice because the first time I was sure I missed a bunch. Because I caught a couple of references and I'm like, I'm sure there's more in there that I missed. And of course there are. And yeah. I'm sure if I watch it a third time, there will be even more.
It's
just so much fun.
I laugh so much with the Robertson screwdriver. It's just such a Canadian thing.
That is, right? It's just a joy. It's such a joy of a movie. It's wonderful. And so, I'm so glad to see that it's ended up somewhere where a lot of people can watch it.
Yeah, for people that might not have heard, because I mentioned it to friends and they were totally like, what? And it's like, yeah, it's on Netflix. Come on. It's an animated family film about how a father and daughter kind of reconcile their differences while saving the world from a robot apocalypse, sort of.
That's very well put.
Although I mean it's a family affair, so you know we can't negate the brother and the mom, and the pug is just so damn hilarious.
Is it a dog? Is it a pig? Is it a dog? Is it a pig?
Yeah. The one thing I think might be worth mentioning, because I saw lots of, like, by far 85%, 90% of the reaction was like enthusiastic, but there are some people that seem to be triggered by the father's kind of overbearing relationship, or behavior towards his daughter. Like I saw a couple tweets that like just real pushback, So I would just throw that out as a warning if that's something that's happened in your life. Some people have reacted badly to that. But I think my take on the movie, and I'm willing to change my mind, but my take on the movie was both characters were changing to reconcile. So it was not a one-sided thing where one character or the other had to do all the work. And that to me was part of the charm, but and just throw that out there.
Good point. Amazon, moving over to Amazon, Tom Clancy's Without Remorse, full admission. I'm not sure why I thought a Tom Clancy movie starring Michael B. Jordan would be different than other Tom Clancy movies, but it's not.
Because it was Michael B. Jordan.
Well, yeah, right? So
Say it's not even a good Tom Clancy movie.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's just kind of like, I don't know. It tries. It's passable. It's got some fine action. It's okay. It's just, it's the movie that you've seen before. So Michael B. Jordan plays this former Marine, I think. I don't even know at this point. Things happen to his family, so he goes out for revenge, and of course the government sees this as their opportunity to eke their revenge via him. So, you know, machinations are happening. It's just like a big action movie. It just happens to be dumber than most of the other big action movies. I don't know. It's just very kind of soulless and heartless, and it's fine. It's just not great. It's not particularly memorable.
So I've read a lot of Clancy's novels in the series, like the Ryans and the Clarks. So John Clark, John Kelly is a big important character in the canon of the show. And this is his origin story. And in the original book, his family's killed because of the drug trade, and he goes vigilante on drug dealers, like basically just assassinating them. And I thought this was an interesting modernization of that story to take it into, because in the book, it was of that age where he was a Vietnam vet and he'd come out of Vietnam. And in here he's some special forces. I don't even remember which one. And there's that, all that intrigue you talked about. And like I said, I thought that was an interesting story premise for to do the modernization, but it completely went off the rails for me. Like it just got way too convoluted, but its real sin was it was just kind of bland. Like where was the tension? Like,
yeah.
So it's like you said, like I don't regret watching it. I mean, it was okay, but it was just, it was kind of television movie quality, and to have all of those, all that great talent and production value, it felt like kind of a waste.
Agreed. And I mean, I think that the drama was supposed to be between Michael B. Jordan and Jimmy Bell's character, and there was no drama there. No tension.
No. And then, yeah. And then, you know, you'd have this totally dumb moment that would take, well, at least it took me out of the thing, the
movie. Yeah. No, not a winner. No. Also not a winner. Let me tell you what also is not a winner. Cherry. The Russo brothers' first movie outside of Marvel is a dud. It's not good. So it's like 2.5 hours long. It's like ridiculously long. To tell the story of Tom Holland's character, whose name I don't even remember, who falls in love with a high school sweetheart, and it's basically like their tortured relationship over the period of, oh, I don't even know, like 10, 15 years or something. So like she goes off to like fancy school, he goes into the army, he comes back and becomes like an addict, and then she's an addict and she's also teaching, and then like stuff happens, and then they rob banks, and then more stuff happens, and then he goes to jail. And the only way that we know that years have passed, because it's Tom Holland and he's very young looking, is they give him a mustache. Like, this is how you make Tom Holland old. You give him a mustache.
It's
like,
very maturing, ridiculous. You know?
It's just, I don't know. Like, it has some moments where you're like, oh, that's actually really interesting. And like, you can tell it's made by two very capable directors. It's just so bland and so long. And oh, I like Tom Holland, but man, this is just not, it's not even that it's not good. It's just kind of a lame duck. It's just a lame duck. It's just bland, very, very bland. I say pass, hard pass. Anthony Mandler's Monster, which is now streaming on Netflix. This is actually a couple of years old. I don't know why it took so long for it to be released, but it is now streaming. I guess the big thing with this, it stars Calvin Harrison Jr., who was amazing in Loose and really made that movie. And I saw him in that and I was like, okay, this guy's going places. And he's also really good here. He plays a 17-year-old teenager who is picked up by the cops for like an involvement with a robbery that's led to like the death of this bodega owner. And it's very heavily narrated. So, I mean, it has some problems. Like, narration is never generally good, and it's a little too much of it here. And I think that's supposed to be like the internal monologue of the character, which is fine. It just seems incessant. But it's interesting, and it does some interesting things, and it has some really powerful themes. Overall, I didn't love it, but I thought it was pretty decent. So I don't know. It's kind of like a halfway recommendation. The performances are great. It's an important story. It has an interesting it has some interesting things to say. It's just not like out of the ballpark good. So I don't know, kind of a meddling recommendation there. One to avoid. I watched this one for you. As Bill likes to say, I took one for the team and I watched Gia Coppola's Mainstream. I wish to God this movie had delivered on the promise that it set out in the trailer. They're selling this as kind of like, it kind of looks like it's going to take the piss out of influencer culture. So Andrew Garfield stars as this like YouTube sensation who basically loses his marbles. And the idea is that you see like the behind the scenes of the machinations that happen into making like this larger than life persona. And there are some scenes, particularly early on, that really deliver on that promise. And then the movie just goes like totally batshit crazy and it just completely loses its way. And sadly, it's an amazing Andrew Garfield performance. Like, amazing Andrew Garfield performance in a really shitty movie.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, and it's like Under the Silver Lake, I didn't like. I can appreciate that people love that movie for reasons. I didn't like, I thought Andrew Garfield was fine, but I didn't think it was like a wasted performance. This feels like a wasted performance. Like, it feels like they should transplant this performance into a different movie and it would be amazing. it just doesn't get there. And I think that makes me more angry than anything else, because it has so much promise and it just doesn't work. Neil Berger has a new movie. Nobody told me this. I was very disappointed, but very happy when I found it. It's called Voyagers. And for those that may not recognize the name Neil Berger, he directed The Illusionist and Limitless and a bunch of other things. But I'm like, I'm a big fangirl. So I was very happy when I saw Neil Berger had his new movie. And it's very like sleek and, you know, very clean. It's a space movie. It's about... hence why it's called Voyagers. So the basic concept is that the Earth is dying. They need to send a group of explorers to this planet that's like a long, long way away. And basically the people that get there, when they finally get to this planet, it's going to be like the third generation of people on the ship. So instead of recruiting astronauts, they decide to build, they decide to like basically like genetically engineer their astronauts. So they grow test tube babies essentially to make a crew. And then they send them out into space on this mission. And of course, you know, shit's going to go wrong, right? So shit does go wrong. It stars Ty Sheridan, Lily Rose Depp, and Fionn Whitehead are kind of like the three main leads. And it's, I don't know, it's not like the greatest space movie, but it's pretty decent. It's more of like a teen drama in space in an enclosed location. The thing that I appreciate about this is that it's one of these space movies that doesn't actually end badly. Like, it's actually very optimistic, which I did not expect. And I'm like, oh, well, this is nice.
Okay. Now
humanity you have actually manages to do something well. So it was very pleasant. I really enjoyed it. And it's super well made. I mean, Neil Berger knows how to make a movie. It looks amazing. So, and the performances are really good. So I'd say see it if any of that sounds interesting. And then the last one. I wish I could say this was good, but it's so not good. So The Woman in the Window, I'm sure by now you've seen all the headlines. For those that haven't, it's directed by Joe Wright. I wish it was better because I love Joe Wright. And I love Amy Adams, but oh my God. So, and like the prestige around this movie is kind of crazy. So it's directed by Joe Wright. It's based on a best-selling novel from A.J. Finn. It was adapted by Tracy Letts, who also stars in a small role. It also co-stars Gary Oldman, Jennifer Jason Leigh, and a bunch of other people. And it's just kind of not great. I don't know. I think it's almost like the book itself is kind of like a riff on Rear Window. Like mm-hmm. The basic premise is that the character played by Amy Adams is a shrink. She's had this trauma and she can't leave her house. And so she is basically spending her days on her computer doing things and looking at people out the window and watching old movies, including Rear Window.
Of course.
You know, it's very in the know, like, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And then, you know, she sees something. Maybe it's what she sees. Maybe it's not what she sees, because she also drinks with her meds. So she's a very unreliable central character. It works really well in the book. And the movie is a very authentic adaptation. Like, it's very true to the source material, but it doesn't work in the visual medium. Like, the drama just isn't there. And it's just kind of like a limp noodle. So Amy Adams is very like overdramatic, and Gary Oldman is very assholey, and Jennifer Jason Leigh looks a little weird all the time. Like, she's not, I don't know. It's almost like she's in a different movie.
Oh,
it's very strange.
Usually that stuff is the director, but Joe Wright.
Yeah, right? It's just kind of like, it just kind of doesn't really work. And it's too bad because, like, I love these, like, psychological thrillers. Like, I love them. And I kind of thought that maybe even, like, the made-for-TV ones tend to have, like, something going for them. This one just, yeah, it's just very, no. No, it's just not good. I wish I could end on a positive note, but.
Another one you took for the team. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have ended on the Mitchells versus the Machines.
Yeah, sorry. Well, it's just the way I wrote them down. But what do you got?
Now I want to rearrange my list to make sure that I'm ending on something positive. But I don't know.
It's okay. We're going to end the show on something positive.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'll confuse the hell out of myself. I'm going to sort of do two at once because it just kind of works. Mortal Kombat and Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah, that kind of works.
After listening to you and Ashley talk about them, I was just like, I think I got to give them a try. And they worked for me for like almost identical reasons. Like they were maybe because of low expectations, but, I enjoyed them. They were exactly what I expected, only they were well done. I was most surprised that I didn't get bored with the action sequences. And I've been totally thinking about why that is, because God knows with some of the big blockbusters, with some of the big directors, I have definitely wanted to fast forward. But something about these sequences, they were still serving the story. Like I was still involved with watching how the stuff evolved. And they both knew exactly what they were about. You know, they had just enough story to drive the plot forward, but they didn't have any pretense to being story driven. Like this was totally about kind of the action and just, you know, having some fun stuff on the screen. And I enjoyed them both. It was nice to just kind of go into the mindless popcorn flick mode.
Right. Right. I second that.
There you go. So yes, I'm glad. I'm glad other folks talked about those to get me watching. Okay. I haven't watched a really old movie. This is probably the oldest movie I watched, but Extraterrestrial by Nacho Vigalondo.
Oh yeah.
Spanish subtitles. I don't know why I was thinking this was going to be a normal movie with Nacho Vigalondo. So
it's never normal when it's Nacho.
Yeah. A man wakes up in his bedroom, or sorry, wakes up in the bedroom of his one night stand. I had to write this down because it's just so. So anyway, he wakes up in the bedroom. He's had a one night stand. He hasn't left yet. And to the horror of him and his one night stand, they discover the world has been. Aliens have landed, and kind of for safety, he's stuck in the apartment. And then the show is very little about the aliens after that. It's all about just some weird, crazy ass shit that goes down between her and her neighbors and her boyfriend and this one night stand. And oh man, I was getting a little bit of whiplash. It was weird. Yeah, I'm afraid this wasn't my kind of movie. It was interesting to watch because I haven't seen anything this out of, you know, out of the Hollywood norm for a long time. So I kind of appreciated it on that level. But I was having a hard time in my brain trying to parse out how I was supposed to feel or like come to any conclusion about what the movie was trying to tell me. So there you go. Thank you, Nacho. The Virtuoso, it's a hitman show with Anson Mount, who plays Captain Pike in Star Trek Discovery and a bunch of other stuff. I really enjoy Anson Mount. I like his performances. I was watching something, an older film, and now that I recognize him, he just kind of popped out. It's just like, wow. And he just was, he's one of these actors that can turn into something, somebody completely different. I really enjoyed his performance in this, but the writing was not that good. The characters were so muddled. It was kind of criminal. Like, why didn't I write this name down? They had some name actors in there and it just felt kind of wasted.
Anthony Hopkins in that?
Yes.
As well?
Anthony. Thank you. Anthony Hopkins. He's wasted. He truly is like the characters were great. The casting for the characters was good to great. The concept I think was good, but the writing and the directing couldn't pull off what they were trying. Because I don't think they had a really clear sense of real human beings. Like this was a drama, and there's the character played by Abby Cornish. It was like, clearly they did not run this past a woman. I just cannot believe, you know, a woman hitman would behave the way that she behaved, at least not with the motivation they gave the characters. Anyway, so it's one of these films, like, I invite people to watch it for themselves if there are things that sound interesting in it. I really can't recommend it, but I really did enjoy some of the performances, especially Anson Mount.
Yeah, it's actually one that's on my watch list. I haven't gotten around to watching it yet. I may still see it only because I really like Anson Mount a lot.
And yeah, like they nailed his casting. Like, it's just, I was so excited as this began. Okay, this is probably the strangest one that I watched. Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar.
Oh, the best. I love this movie so much.
Did you really?
I did. I think Ashley and I had like a total love fest over this movie. It's just so batshit crazy in the weirdest possible way and so much fun. Like, it just is crazy.
It is absolutely the most crazy plot line I have ever seen. Do you know, so that booby song that the piano player played?
Yep.
I don't know if you watched the full credits.
Yep. Of course we did.
Okay. So you know who wrote that?
Yes.
Go for it.
Actually, no. Wait, no. What?
Kristen Wiig wrote the booby song.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. No, I knew that. Sorry, I'm like, is he throwing me a...
I wasn't trying to. I was a bad attempt to go for dramatic effect. Dun, dun, dun. I mean, and that was kind of... So, yeah, for people that forget what this movie is about, it's two kind of Midwest ladies.
I think so.
Go on a trip to Florida after being laid off, and... I mean, holy crap, just the whole, like, their book club and everything was, anyway. And they wind up in the middle of a evil plot to destroy this town in Florida. It's, the characters are, like, over the top, but they mostly work. The situation's just, I enjoyed parts of it. I found some parts of it a little bit tedious, actually. But this is not going to be everybody's cup of tea, but it was.
Oh, that's for sure. That's them. Like, you nailed it there. Like, it has a very specific sense of humor, a very specific visual style. It's like weird. And I think by now, you know, everybody probably knows my sense of humor is very strange. Like, I tend to like movies that people hate. So, like, Hot Rod, like, I just, there's so much joy in Hot Rod. I cannot bring myself to hate that movie. Like, I love it unabashedly. And this kind of fits that same weird, like, it's just like this sort of crazy movie. It just happens that a lot of people really enjoy it too.
Yeah. I actually really liked Hot Rod. I'm not always a big fan of those kinds of movies. I liked Hot Rod. This one, I think, you know how you get sometimes a movie, it's just like, I salute you for being true to your weirdness. For me, that was kind of this movie. I'm just so glad that they got to make this movie, even though it wasn't 100% to my taste. I mean, it was obviously, it was more than good enough for me to finish watching it, even though I cringed in with some of the humor. But yeah, I salute you, filmmakers. Okay, yeah, let's get these last two here pretty quick here. Nobody. Bob yes. Odenkirk plays a man forced to defend himself from the Russian mafia because reasons. I mean, it's a nice, solid kind of action revenge flick. And it was kind of nice to see something that was almost that pure. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of we're trying to do this or that. It was just a straight up kind of like good guy, bad guy. I mean, there's a little bit more to the story than that, which is good, but it was just basically that. And I enjoyed it on that level. And the last one, Those Who Wish Me Dead, which is the latest Angelina Jolie movie.
Oh, I haven't seen this yet, so please don't spoil it.
Okay. No, I never try to spoil things even years later. So professional killers are after a boy in rural Montana, and Angelina Jolie plays a forest ranger who is trying to protect him. Only there's way more going on than that. Actually, the secondary characters were really well written in this. I really liked like the whole all of these characters. But the overall story didn't quite come together for me. There was kind of a lack of tension, or something about the bad guys didn't give me that kind of sense of things actually could go wrong, or I don't know what it was, but it was a really fun watch. Like I would still overall recommend it. But it wasn't a home run, and I was really, maybe it's because of my expectations. I mean, I was thinking like, you know, Angelina Jolie and this kind of thing. I was, you know, expecting another Salt or something like that. And it isn't that, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I haven't seen her in anything for a while, so hence why I was really keen on watching this one. So it's on our list of things to watch. I have a list, a very long list that never seems to get any shorter, and they keep adding titles to it. Do you have any books this month?
I have no books.
Neither do I. I'm partway through a bunch of stuff. So I really like a bunch of stuff. It's kind of amazing that I'm in the middle of more than one book. It's kind of shocking. But I have a podcast. Do you have anything?
Too. Yeah. Okay. Go for it. Go.
So it's not a new podcast, but it's an episode of a podcast. So Planet Money, which I've talked about before incessantly, they recently did an episode called Hot Cheetos.
I just listened to it.
Oh yeah. So that story, something about that story and just the arc of it, it feels like it needs to be a movie. And it's definitely worth checking out. Just find it on your podcast feed. If you don't listen to anything else, just listen to that episode. It's not so much about economics as it is about, though it is about economics as well. It's just such an amazing story and it's so well told. Highly recommend it. And then you can enjoy it as you eat a bag of hot Cheetos.
You know, I have never had hot Cheetos.
They're pretty hot.
I'm not really, I'm more of a, oh, I forget what the brand name is. There's a different brand of cheesy. Although I guess you can only say cheesy if they're Hawkins cheesies. I'm not a Hawkins fan either, which is sacrilegious to some people. But anyway, yes, that was a fun episode. And you're right. It really does deserve a movie.
And that's so all I have.
My podcast is Canada Land had their political podcast that was called Oppo, and the two hosts for life reasons decided to move on to other stuff. So they've come back with a new political podcast called The Backbench, with Fatima Saeed, who I follow on Twitter, and they've done one episode so far, and I'm really looking forward to hearing more from this crew. And it's going to be, Canadaland, they tend to find great talent to do stuff. And she's going to have a panel of people from across the country, different people at different times. So it's not going to be, hopefully not going to be eccentric. We'll see. They've only had the one episode, and yeah, I'm really looking forward to this.
Awesome. I'm actually really enjoying the new season of Canadaland.
The
new season is on real estate in Canada.
Oh, Commons. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
sorry, I keep forgetting that. Yeah, I don't know what I listen to now. I just know Canadaland something or other.
Four different. Yeah, there's Commons. Well, I mean, it might be worth mentioning, depending on. I think they have a combined feed, so you'll get all of them, or you can subscribe to them individually. So they do a Monday? Yeah, they do a Monday show, which is just kind of a general show. Lately, they've been having a lot of guest hosts. So, and this is one of the things I really like about Jesse Brown. I mean, lots of people have problems with him, but when he's covering Indigenous issues, you know, he'll step down and he'll let Ryan McMahon or some other person who's actually got skin in the game talk about it. I really appreciate that. Then they've got, I think it's called Shortcuts on Thursday, and Commons is back. And now they're bringing their political one back as the backbench. So there's at least four. I think there's actually maybe even another one in there that's more, yeah, Wag the Doug they do periodically, which is an Ontario-centric one.
Okay.
As in Doug Ford.
Oh, got it. Yeah, that's all I got. Nothing more.
Okay.
Well, that was pretty good, though.
That's sort of a positive note.
It totally is. It's been a good. I guess at this point, it's been a good month, right? Because I think it's been over about a month since we talked. But
it's been a solid month.
Yeah, there's been some like good, like stuff coming out, and like every week, it's like okay, there's two or three things we have to watch this week, or we want to watch this weekend. So it's been nice. I must say, had a good run.
Yeah.
And the watch list is quite long, which is also good. I'm not running out of things to watch.
I saw an article on one of the feeds I watch, and I thought of you. Apparently, and I don't know how they did it in the pandemic. It's in the States, but all 8 Fast and Furious movies were going to be shown in the theater for free leading up to the new release coming out. And it's just like, oh, that must be killing Marina.
I think, why would you do that to yourself?
Oh, really?
Well, there's a couple of not so great ones in the mix there. I don't know. I don't know. Kind of after, I think, 5, some of the magic is gone. I don't know. I mean, there's still a shit ton of fun. And the action sequences, I love that they've got, like, they've leaned into the craziness of them all. Mm-hmm. They're still fun. They just don't have the charm of the first couple. I don't know. I think by 5, it was kind of like when things like were taken to the next level. And I was like, yeah, okay. They're still great. They're just not. They're kind of like Bond movies now.
Would that be the level where you're jumping a sea predator?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think they've gotten. Well, I guess some people will argue that they've jumped the shark, but I don't know. I mean, you've seen the original, right? I mean, it's pretty ridiculous to begin with.
You know, I have not seen the original. I've seen some of the middle ones. I'm going to have to.
Dude, I
keep meaning to.
The way that I would do this would be watch 1, skip 2, watch 3, watch 4, watch 5, and then the rest is all kind of like.
Okay. Whatever. Or wait a minute. Maybe I have seen. Oh, I forget. I'm sorry.
I don't know. For I actually have gone back to rewatch number 2 because, so like, notoriously, maybe now is notorious. The second one was where none of the original cast came back, really. So that's where they introduce Ludacris and the other guy whose name I've forgotten. Oh, well. But they introduced two new characters because basically Vin Diesel didn't want to do a second one for whatever reason. And then they brought Vin Diesel back for the end of the third one. But the third one is like legit interesting because they go to Tokyo, shit's different, the cars are different, the cast is different, Han is still there, which is amazing. And like it just has like a different flavor. And it works because it's just so ridiculous. But I love it. I like legitimately love number three. It's so good. And then, you know, by the time they got to number four, it's like the whole crew is back because now they're making like backing up the truck full of money. Mm-hmm. And it's just been, you know, that's what it is. It's like just bucketfuls of money and it's fine. Like I have no issue with that. Just keep making like fun, dumb movies. And they're all the same. Right? The concept is the same in all of them. Mm-hmm. It's all about the family.
Yep.
And pulling off the next heist or whatever. And they have, you know, the bad guys, they vary in how good they are. So it kind of has turned into like this Bond series where Bond is played by a group of drivers. The cars are even like they're even like third fiddle now. You get like one or two cool cars and the action sequences are just kind of like, it's all about the special effects and not so much about the practical, which is what made the series so good to begin with, is the fact that they didn't have money to do the practical effects. So So they had to do everything practical. And that kind of carried through the second and third. But now the sequences are so insane. You can't do those sequences in real life.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do them. So for me, it's lost a little bit of the shine.
And like I saw Hobbs and Shaw and that was just all super insane.
Oh yeah. I mean, they have, they're certainly a lot of fun and I do enjoy them. Like they're just dumb, stupid movies and I am A-okay with that.
Well, I think if I am looking for something actually to watch, I might. So that was 1, 3,
4 and 5.
4 and 5. I just might have to try and circle back on that.
And then if you really, really want to, you could watch 2, but 2 is really not great. I mean, I've seen it, I think, twice. And every time I do like a rewatch, I usually skip over 2. But 1 is solid and 3 is just stupid fun. And it has like the best soundtrack. Best soundtrack. So good.
You heard it here, folks.
You heard it here. You heard it here, people. And with that, we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Hopefully not a whole month. Can't make any promises, but we will be back soon to talk about some more movies and TV that we've been watching. Until then.
Hopefully with Colleen. Good luck.
Yes, hopefully with Colleen and
all the schooling stuff.
That's right. Until then, find us at atcpod.ca. Check out all the show notes for the shows. Dale, where can people find you?
Motleyjournal.ca probably. Yeah, it's the best. Group42.ca if you're into tech stuff.
And you can find me on the Twitter and the Instagram. Because I'm like old school like that. And that's basically it. Oh, and I do update Letterboxd every once in a blue moon. I'm trying to be better at it. But that kind of defeats the purpose of the show. Because then you see all the things I've been watching. And I can't.
Oh, but you don't. I follow you on Letterboxd. I haven't updated my Letterboxd in years. But I still.
I really do a dump. Like I'll collect titles. And then I'll just like do a massive dump one day. And just update it.
It's different. It's different having a one liner if you do a one line review versus hearing you talk about it. So I don't think you're giving anything away.
Excellent. But okay, now I'm rambling because I think I'm just hungry.
Yeah, it is. It is that time.
So until next time,
we'll see you after the credits.